that we never can know. The delights of his love, until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, and the joy he
to Amen. Thank you, Abby. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God this morning and we will go to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. In just a moment, I want to begin at verse number 1 and we will read down to verse number 13 together. You know, when you come to the very first service of a brand new year, I think it is very important on what we speak about and what is talked about in preparation for this year. I think every one of us would say, Pastor, I want to have a great 2021. Well, what involves something that we would consider a great year? Now, let's be honest. 2020, we would say, had some great challenges for each and every one of us. It was a year of uncertainty, a year of disappointment in many ways. But I will say this to you. Our God never failed us, not one time. God was faithful to us. And God took us every step of the way. And we know that His faithfulness never changes. His love for us never falters. But as we come to 2021, this morning I want to preach to you on this subject, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. The patience and comfort of the Scriptures. If there are two words that would characterize what I think all of us desire, and that is patience and comfort. But I believe that we would have to agree and have to admit and maybe confess that sometimes we are lacking patience and we do not have God's comfort. But I want you to see today that the patience and comfort come from the precious Word of God. If you want to have a year in which you experience the blessing of the Lord, you will not have that kind of year without knowing and putting your faith in the precious Word of God. God's Word must be more to us than just something we carry to church. God's Word must be something more to us than just something that we look through as the preacher is preaching. It must become our book. I'm reading a series of books right now by F.W. Borum on life text. And basically the series is talking about Bible verses and portions of God's Word that had the greatest impact on people's lives. In fact, F.W. Borum, if I could maybe say that he's one of my favorite authors. And I'm reading, in fact, last night as I was going to sleep, I was reading the text that changed the life of different people and the text that God gave them from the Word of God. And you know something? God's Word makes the difference. And if we are going to be people who make differences in the lives of other people, we must allow God's Word to make its difference in our life. We come to Romans chapter number 15, and I want us to begin in verse number 1. The Word of God says this, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, this morning, as we look at our text of Scripture, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know something? I want 2021 to be a year that is filled with Bible hope. That our hope is not necessarily in better days, but that our hope is firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's where hope is connected to. For instance, on Friday, you may have... How many watched the ball game on Friday night? Would you raise your hand, all right? And you had to recover all day yesterday, right? Okay? And, you know, we might have said in that ball game, "Well, I hope the Buckeyes win, you know? I hope they do," and all of that. But that's not really Bible hope. Hope is a promise. Hope is confidence in the character of an unchangeable God. We understand something about uncertainty. We've dealt with it in this past year. In fact, if you just look at the world and just take it at face value, we almost enter 2021 without really certainty. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of questions. But I want you to know today, God wants us to be people of hope. People that we have found our patience and we have received comfort from the Scriptures. Folks, I want you to know something today. We must make the Word of God our precious book. It must become so real and so precious and priceless to us. In fact, God's Word is really our fixed point of reference in a world that is constantly changing. What is it that we have that we can hold on to coming into this new year? The only thing that will never change and that will never lie is the precious Word of God. It must become our fixed point of reference. Now, it is our fixed point of reference, but what is it to you? Have you chosen to say, "This is my book. This is my Word of God that I'm hiding in my heart"? In fact, to our shame today, there is nothing in human life so valuable yet so neglected as the precious Word of God. It is so valuable, the depth of God's Word. In fact, if you would allow me this series of books that I'm reading on life verses and texts that made the great difference in men's lives and changed them and just changed them. Many of them brought them to salvation, or many of them helped them throughout great trials in life. You know what they found? It was not the words of a man. It was the Word of God. It was God's Word that shined through upon their dark situation of life. To them, nothing was more valuable than what the Word of God had to say. I want to ask you something. Going into this brand new year, is God's Word really precious to you? Is it really valuable? Is it something that you desire to get into and dig into the precious Word of God? In fact, folks, everything we see around us should be judged through scriptural eyes. In fact, this means that we should look at the world. We should never look at the world to interpret the Bible. We should look at the Bible to understand what's going on in the world. Some people say, "Well, I just don't understand." Well, get into the pages of Scripture. God's Word will give you spiritual understanding. It will, as the Bible says, it will illumine you. It will shed light on what is going on in the world. We can understand what is going on in the world through the pages of the Word of God. You see, in fact, it is impossible, and I want you to listen to me very closely, it is impossible to be a spiritually minded Christian without being a scripturally minded Christian. It's impossible to be spiritual without being scriptural. The Word of God must dig deep into our soul. We must hide it in our heart in order to be a spiritually minded person. You know what? There are many Christians that they know the Lord. They are saved. They're on their way to heaven. No doubt about it. Nothing will change that. But they're not spiritually minded people. They don't think according to God's ways, and it's because the Bible is not in their heart. In fact, do you know that our attitude towards God's Word is really our attitude toward God? Do you know this morning that what we think of the Bible is what we think of God? How much we love the Bible is really how much we love God. Because this is His precious Word. This is, we call the Bible, it is God-breathed. It is the very breath of God. It has power like no other book has power. And my attitude towards the Bible is really my attitude toward God. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, "It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible, until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord." You know, there is something what it means to be able to get into the Word of God, and God's Word gets so much in you that you just talk about it. In fact, it just spills over into your life, and people know that you have been into the Word of God. Folks, if you're a Christian, I want you to know the Bible is your book. But many Christians have neglected the Word of God, and therefore they have no hope. Therefore they have no patience. Therefore they have no comfort. Today, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Number one, I want you to notice some very simple thoughts that I pray that God would help us. Romans chapter 15, and let's begin, if you would please. We've read this passage, but let's go back to verse number 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. First, I want you to notice the way that we learn. The way that we learn. Now, you may say, well, the way I learn is through the school of hard knocks, Pastor. That's it. The way that I learn is by making mistakes. Well, unfortunately, we do learn that way. Unfortunately, often we can learn many things from our mistakes. But the Bible teaches us the way that we should learn. How do we learn? I'll tell you how we learn. Look what Romans 15:4 says. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, folks, I know of people that have even said to me before, "Well, the Old Testament, I'll tell you something, we don't really need the Old Testament too much. That was written a long time ago, Pastor, and that was, you know, the Old Testament, that was the Hebrews and all of that." But folks, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." We should take great interest into the stories of the Old Testament because that's how we learn. That's how we learn things about God and things about life. Now, let me explain this to you. For instance, do you know, as we think about great stories of God's Word, let's think about Noah and the Ark. Do you know that Noah and the Ark is more than just a story about an old man who liked a lot of animals, all right? Let's just put it that way. It's more than just a story about a man who built a giant boat when nobody else was building a boat. No, it is more than that. It is more than just talking about how his craftsmanship and the 120 years that Noah and his sons built the ark. Can I tell you what Noah and the ark is all about? It is a story of God's redemption. It is a story of a man who went against the grain of society and culture, and he obeyed God. He put his faith in God, and he was saved by the grace of God. That's what Noah and the Ark is all about. You see, it's more than just some story that we might think is a cute little story. That's how we learn that God will take care of His people. And if we go against the grain of culture, and if we will obey God, God will take care of us as well. You see, the Word of God is given to us for our learning. In fact, would you take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Folks, we do not read the Bible, or we should not read the Bible like we read other things. The Bible is not like a newspaper article. It's not a short story. The Bible is God's precious word. And we must read the Bible like we read any other thing. It is so valuable and so precious to us. Folks, we need to read the Bible that it is God's precious word, but we need the spiritual eyes of understanding to open the scripture. You see, God's word must be read and reread, but God's word must be read where the Spirit of God can open the scripture to us, can illumine the word of God to us. Now look, I'm not talking about something mystical. I'm talking about something that's real. I don't know what it's been like for you, but have you ever read God's word before? And you've read that passage many, many, many times. That this time you read it, and it's like the Lord turned the light on and showed you the real meaning of that passage. How many's ever had that happen to you before? Absolutely. Have you read a passage and you thought you got everything out of that passage there was to get out of it, and you read it again and God showed you something else? How many's ever had that happen before? That's the Bible. The Bible, listen, there's books that I read in college. I thank God for my college education, but there's books I read and I've never read them since that day. Thank the Lord for that, you know? I put them on a shelf or put them in a bookcase or whatever it may be, and I put them away. I'm not reading that again. But the Word of God is unlike any other book. You see, the way that we learn is that we look at the stories of God's Word, and God shows us truths about Himself and about life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 kind of expresses this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look what it says in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Do you know what Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth? Paul was saying, listen, you remember the children of Israel? You remember when they tempted God in the wilderness? Do you remember when the serpents came out and bit them and many of them died? Listen, that was written for our example. That was written for our intent, our admonition, that we would learn not to murmur, that we would learn not to tempt Christ, that we would learn to be holy and pure before the Lord. You see, that was our admonition. And folks, throughout the Bible, the stories of God's Word, that's the way that we learn. Folks, when you read the great stories of the Bible, read them with understanding of what would God have you to learn from that. We looked at Noah and the ark and how that we learn what the real meaning of that. Let's think about Joseph. You know what? Joseph is, it's more than just a story about a teenage boy that was sold into slavery. It's more than that. It's more than just about a boy that his brothers were envious of him. It's more than that. Can I tell you the story of Joseph? It is a story of how God worked. And God came through right on time for Joseph. It shows us how that Joseph did what was right and God honored him. It shows us that God does not forget us. It shows us that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the way that we learn. You see, that's how we should read the Bible. The Bible is written for our learning and our admonition. Let's think about David. Oh, listen, the story of David. When I was a kid growing up, the story of David was given. And, you know, I would always think about David killing that lion and that bear with his bare hands. And I would think about David standing there killing the giant Goliath. And I wondered what that was all like. But that's not just what the story of David is like. The story of David is about a young man who had a heart for God. And God found David. And God prepared David to be the king of Israel. You know what the story of David is? God is still looking for a man or a woman that he can bless and use. That's the story of David. We think about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may think, well, that's a story about some guys that, boy, they had some good fire insurance. You know, that's what it was about them. No, it's more than that. Is it more than just about boys that were able to stand and they didn't get burned in the fiery furnace? No, it's more than that. Can I tell you what the story is? It's a story about young men who said, we will obey God rather than men. And God took care of them. God met their needs. And God, as they put their faith in God, they found that God was all sufficient for them. You know something, the way that we learn is not by simply skimming the surface of God's Word. That's not the way we learn. It is by asking God to give us understanding of His Word. It is by really reading for understanding. It is asking the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds as we read the precious Word of God. Folks, the Bible is our food. And we cannot get enough for a lifetime. We need a daily supply of the Word of God. By the way, I think all of us, maybe on this Sunday, the first Sunday of a new year, we might think to ourselves, you know something? I want my life to be different than what it was in 2020. I want to know God in a greater way. That's wonderful. But how is anything going to change in your life and in my life? How is anything going to be changed? Folks, in order to change our future, the present must be disturbed. We must disturb or allow God to disturb us, to bring us to the place of obedience to Him. You know, the Bible says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. But you cannot do that without the Word of God. You cannot do that without becoming a student of the Bible. Without really loving God's Word and wanting to know the Word of God. Folks, when the Holy Spirit touches the eyes of your understanding and you see Christ shining through the pages of the Bible, it will become a new book to you. You know what? To some Christians, the Bible is dead to them. Sadly, to some Christians, the Bible makes no difference in their life. But it's not because the Bible has no power. It has power. It's because we are not hiding God's Word in our heart. Folks, the way that we learn is by getting into the Word of God and asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. And He opens our understanding. He illumines the Word of God to us. Read the Bible with understanding, asking the Spirit of God to guide and to direct your every step, because that is the way that we learn. You know something? All of us deal with things in life. We deal with things that are confusing to us. We deal with questions. We deal with heartache. We deal with sorrow. But how are you going to learn to trust the Lord? How are you going to learn to faith God? By getting into the Word of God. Read the great stories of the Bible. Read all of the Bible. And as you do, God will speak to you. You know something, as I read the stories of God's Word, you know what I find to be true? I find that God is the same God as He was to David. He's the same God as He was to Joseph. He hasn't changed. He's the same God to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as He is to me. And the same God that took care of them will take care of me. And the same God that met their every need will meet my every need. That's how we learn. We learn as God speaks to us through His precious Word. But not only as we think about the patience and comfort of Scriptures, the way we learn, but secondly, the way we live. Now take your Bibles and go back to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. Can I ask you a question this morning? I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to answer in your heart. How are you living right now? You say, well, Pastor, I'm living pretty good. Well, how are you living? And I want to ask you, are you living with patience and comfort? Because the way that we are to live is we are to live with patience and comfort. And I think all of us would agree that in our situation that we're dealing with in our country today and really around the world, Patience is hard to find. People become impatient. I become impatient. You become impatient. And comfort, where is comfort found? Is comfort found in a better day? Not really. Is comfort found in our political system? Definitely not. Is comfort found in a better day of health? Maybe not. Where is our comfort found? Folks, do you understand that God wants us to live with patience and comfort, but it comes from the Scriptures? Now let's notice something. Romans chapter 15, let's go back to verse number 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." That's how we learn, studying the Bible. "That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." There are certain things that should characterize your Christian life and should characterize my Christian life. And those two things are patience and comfort. You know what? For many Christians, the things that usually characterize our Christian life is worry, fear, frustration, and stress. A lack of peace. That's many times how our Christian life is characterized. We don't have patience, and we do not have comfort. By the way, you know, the idea of patience is not necessarily what we think of, all right? For instance, some people think, well, I just need more patience. I need to be patient in the drive-thru, you know, because I get really mad in the drive-thru, you know. And we've dealt with a lot of drive-thrus in the last year, have we not? And but that's not what I'm speaking of. Do you know what patience really is? Patience means that my attitude toward God is right. I want to ask you a question today. What do you think about God? A.W. Tozer said that the most important thing about your life is what you think about God. You see, this morning, if you think God is unjust, then you will never have patience. If you think God is unfair to you, then I'm going to tell you something, you'll never have patience. Patience means my attitude toward a holy God is right. That means that I think right about God. Folks, you will never think right about God until you get into His Word. You see, the Bible, can I tell you what the Bible does to us? The Bible reveals God to us. The Bible shows us who God really is. It shows us what God is like. And as we study the stories of the Bible and how that God related to the children of Israel, how that God took care of His people, how that God met their need, and yet God chastened them, and yet God never failed in His love to them. When we have patience, it means that our attitude toward God is right. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It's the attitude that God is going to do what is right, and I am just waiting on the Lord. Do you understand, often when we are impatient, it really is directed toward God. When we get hurried and we get frustrated and we get fearful and we get worried, it's really, in a sense, we are saying, God, I just don't think You're going to do what is right, so I've got to do something about it. Lord, I just don't trust You in this matter, and I don't think You're going to come through for me. So I'm really worried about this. That's a lack of patience. I'm going to tell you something. I'm convicted when I think about this. I'm guilty when I think about this. And I think all of us would have to agree this morning that often we lack the patience that comes from God because we just don't really believe God is going to take care of us. We just don't know that God is really going to come through for us. You may say this morning, well, Pastor, I have someone who is very difficult to deal with. I have someone that I have a hard time. I'm bitter against that someone. Well, let me ask you something. Can you trust God with that person? Can you let God take care of them? Well, I don't know how I'm going to learn that. Well, think about David. David had King Saul that hated David. I mean, did Saul do what was right towards David? No. Was he jealous of David? Yes. Was he angry against David? Did he try to kill David? But there was a God who worked in all of that. God used all of that. God never authored Saul's sin. But God, who is sovereign, was able to use even the evil of Saul for David's good. And how do we learn that? We learn that through the Word of God, the great stories of God's Word. It helps our attitude toward God. If God did that for David, then God will do that for me. If God did that for Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery, they lied about Joseph. They lied to his dad. I mean, listen, that was a horrible thing. You know what Joseph could have done? Joseph could have been in prison and he could have said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get my brothers. I'm going to get back at them as soon as I get out of here. Joseph could have broken out of prison. Joseph could have killed a guard and gotten out. And he would have forfeited all that God wanted to do in his life because he would not have had patience. But can I tell you what Joseph did? Somehow Joseph believed God in prison. Joseph knew that God was going to come through for him. When? I don't know. But Joseph just had faith in God. And that's how Joseph was able to say when his brothers came before him and Joseph had the power to put them to death. You know what Joseph said? Ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. You know what Joseph did? He had the right attitude toward God. He said, God did what was right. God didn't fail me. You sinned, but God did not fail me. God came through for me and God met my need. That was a man who had patience. Folks, today, so often, we do not have patience. We don't have that patience. We think we've got to help God somehow. We think we've got to help God because God is just not able to come through. But listen, when our attitude toward God is right, we will have patience. Can I tell you this? We'll have rest. My wife said to me one day, years ago, you know, sometimes wives are good preachers in the homes, you know. They do well, and thank God for them. But one day my wife said, honey, I'm praying that you will have rest. Boy, that was an indictment against me. That was really, I was guilty. She recognized there was no rest in my soul. You know why there was no rest in my soul? It's because my attitude toward God was not right. My attitude toward God was that I just don't know if God is going to come through. How is this going to work out? How is things going to happen? Wait a minute. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Listen, when our attitude toward God is right and correct, and that God is going to meet our need, that God is not going to fail us, that God is seeing us, that God knows what we're dealing with, then we have patience. Patience. Folks, God wants us, our lives, to be characterized with patience. But the second word, the Bible says that we through patience and comfort. Now, what is patience? It's my attitude toward God is right. But what is comfort? Well, if patience has to do with our attitude toward God, then comfort is God's answer to our patience. You know what God gives us when our attitude toward Him is right? He comforts us. Listen, there's been many times that I've been alone with God and His Word. I didn't have the answers. And even when it was all said and done, I still didn't have the answers. And even when I was dealing with things that I was confused about and worried about and fearful about, you know what? When I got finished with reading the precious Word of God and spending time in His presence in prayer, can I tell you what God gave me? Comfort. Did I have the answer? No. Did I know how it was going to work out? No. But I had comfort. God comforted my soul with simply that my attitude toward Him was right. That God was going to take care of it. I don't know how, but God just gave me comfort. Listen, how could David, when he was in the wilderness, and David and King Saul and all of his men, one time there were over 300 men chasing after David, and he was fleeing for his life. He didn't have anybody to protect him except God. He didn't have anybody else to watch over him. How could David go to sleep at night knowing that there could be a man come upon him and kill him? How could David rest? I'll tell you how David could rest. He rested in the arms of God. He rested in the presence of God. David said that he could lay his head and he could go to sleep and knowing that God would protect him. Listen, you know what David thought? David thought in his heart, I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I know Saul's out there somewhere. I know those 300 men are coming to chase after me and kill me. But I'm under the protection of a mighty God. And I'm going to go to sleep tonight. And I know that God is going to protect me. How can a man do that? Because his attitude toward God was right. And therefore God's answer to his patience was comfort. Listen, do you know what we're lacking in society today? Patience and comfort. People are looking for comfort. You know as much as I know that during this pandemic, the alcohol has gone up in society. People who become alcoholics and drinking more and more alcohol. Why? They're trying to find comfort. People that have gotten on drugs and increased their drug habit. Why? They're trying to find comfort. People that are now more addicted to things than ever before. They're trying to find comfort. But folks, there is no comfort outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The comfort is found in His presence. God gives us comfort. He comes to us. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. In fact, take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to show this to you. I think this is wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. So we see the way we learn, but the way that we live. As a pastor, I want to live with patience and comfort. But it's not something that someone can give to me. Do you know that as your pastor, I cannot give you patience. I cannot give you comfort. I can't do it. That comes from the Lord. It comes from His precious Word. You say, Pastor, I don't have patience and I don't have comfort. Get into the Bible. Let God's Word get into your heart. Read the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to teach you His Word. And He will teach you His Word. And He will give you patience. Your attitude toward God will be right. And He will comfort you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. It says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and look at this, and the God of all comfort. I'm going to read on here. But what kind of comfort do you need? Well, He's the God of all comfort. Do you need comfort in your marriage? He's the God of all comfort. Do you need comfort with your children? He's the God of all comfort. Do you need comfort with your finances? He's the God of all comfort. There is no comfort outside of the bounds of a holy God. He'll give you His comfort. Verse 4 says, Who comfort us? In all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look here. You know what? When God helps you, when God comforts you, you'll be able to comfort others. I had a man years ago. I was going through something very difficult. And he said to me, he said, Son, I have gone through what you are going through. And he didn't say, all right, you'll get over it. Just man up about the thing, you know. Just get some thick skin about you. You'll be fine. That's so false theology. You know what he said to me? He said, I went through exactly what you're going through. And God helped me. He did not forsake me. And I know that God is going to help you. You know what? You know what he was saying? God comforted me and God will comfort you. He's no respecter of persons. And folks today, you need the comfort that God can give you. He's the God of all comfort. Listen, some of you this morning, you are dealing with things that I can never figure out for you and you can't figure out for yourself. You deal with things of bitterness right now. People have hurt you and wounded you. I can't help you, but the God of all comfort can help you. He's the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. What are you dealing with today? Then there is comfort found with Jesus Christ. And folks, if we don't have comfort today, it is because our attitude toward God is not right. You know what? Years ago, and I think I've told you this, years ago when I was youth pastor, I did a little experiment, all right, with teenagers. they're quite an experiment to just be in their presence as it is, you know. But I asked them, I gave them all little pieces of paper, and I said, I don't want you to put your name on this. I don't know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. But I want you, in a few words, to tell me what you think about God. You know what? It was shocking to know what those teenagers thought about God. Many of them said, I just don't think God loves me. Many of them said that. I just don't think God is fair. Many of them said that. I don't think that God is really good. You know what? They were thinking wrong about God. But it was because they didn't have the Word of God in their heart. And folks, today, if you think God doesn't love you, then you'll never have comfort. Because your attitude toward God is not right. If today, if you think that God is not fair and God has not been as good to you as He's been to other people, then you'll never have comfort and you'll never fulfill what God wants you to do in your life. Listen, we must get back to the Bible and let God's Word get back to us. You know what we need a revival of? A revival of the Bible. That's what we need a revival of. Of just Christians getting back to the Word of God, hiding it in their heart. And this goes for all of us and it goes for me today. The way we learn, the way we live, but number three, the way we look. Now, I'm not talking about your appearance today. In fact, many of you are joining me by means of live stream, and you might be in your PJs watching this service, all right? So I'm not talking about the way you look right now, physically speaking. But I am speaking about the way we look at things. How do you look at life right now? I'd be honest with you. Can I just be honest and transparent with you? Very clear. Sometimes I'm afraid of doing that. But it's difficult to look in the future with a lot of hope. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Our political system, the election, all of that, the health, you know, the pandemic, all of that. How can we look at things with hope? How can we look? By the way, we've got a lot of couples that are just gotten married or getting married. You know what? They ought to look at life with hope. They ought to look at life with God has brought us together and we're excited about life. But I meet many people that they're just hopeless. They don't look right at life. The way we look at life, listen, some people, the way they look at life is cynical. And I want you to know something. Without God and without the right view of God, life will be cynical. My grandfather, before he came to know Christ as his Savior, was the most cynical man I'd ever known in my life. And to even to this day, he was cynical about life. He was cynical about people. He said to me, "Oh, everybody will hurt you eventually." Cynical. "Everybody will lie to you eventually." Cynical. "You can't trust anybody." A cynical life. Can I tell you why he was cynical? Because he had no hope. And our hope is not on another person or another place or another situation. Our hope comes back to God. Our hope comes back to the patience. Our attitude toward God is right. And the comfort that He gives us, that He's going to take care of everything. You know something? There's times when I'm just in His presence and I don't have the answers, but I just know that God has the answers, and that's okay with me. I don't have the solution, but He has the solution, and that's okay with me. That's comfort, that God is my God, and that God loves me, and that God is taking care of me. That's where we find hope. But how do you look at things? Let's go back, if you would please, to Romans chapter number 15. And I want you to see this in closing. The way we look. Folks, we should be able to look at all things with hope. With hope. Listen, what does 2021 hold for us? I don't know. And you don't know. Aren't you thankful God doesn't show us everything that's coming ahead of us? I don't think we could handle it, you know? What if God showed us everything that we had to deal with the rest of our lives here on earth? We could not bear it. That's why the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." But I want you to know this. No matter what happens to us in 2021, we have a God who will never forsake us. We have a God who will never fail us, not one time. We have a God whose eyes will always be upon us. He will never take His eyes off of us. We have a God who is ready to hear our prayer. We have a God who still hears and answers prayer. We have the God that can do the impossible. We have the God who holds the reins of this universe in His hands. That's what we have in 2021. So where is our hope? It's not on a political system. It is not on something. It is in the God who makes no mistakes. Romans chapter 15, look what it says in verse number 4. Once again, the end of that verse, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Verse number 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Is it not interesting that the way we see one another is connected with our patience and comfort? It goes on to say in verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we murmur and complain so much? It's because we don't have the patience and comfort. When we have patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope, and therefore we glorify God. Let's read on and look in verse number 13. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. My two oldest children work at an IGA, a grocery store in West Liberty, and they work there and been working there many hours this past week and all of that. And they have told me, they tell me all kinds of stories. You know, you find stories about people and different things like that. And Caleb was telling me that someone asked him about the game, and then they just went on and talking about the game. And so, you know, and that's great. But my kids have found this to be true, that some people will ask them, how you doing? And they will say, we're doing great. And it's almost as if the people look at them like, why are you doing great? There's nothing great about anything happening right now. Today, if you smile, or if people can even see you smile, people are like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? What do you mean? But folks, can I tell you something? If our eyes are on Jesus Christ, if our hope is in the God who is really in control, our hope is in the God who is seated on His throne, our hope is in the God who loves us and cares for us, then we should have all joy and peace in believing, and we should abound in hope. But why don't Christians abound in hope? And let's just be honest, why don't we abound in hope? Why don't I abound in hope? Why is there this hopelessness that can surround us? Because if we are just looking at circumstances, if we are just looking at the world, if we are just looking at men, and we are just looking on the surface, there is no hope there. It is nothing but darkness, and it is nothing but despair. But folks, we are not forsaken by our God. We are not cast down. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul, that is within me? Why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. Our hope this morning is in a God who cares for us and loves us, and a God who is working all things together for our good. A God who is working in your life and in my life this very moment. A God who has not forsaken us. A God whose promises are true and we can trust in His Word. In fact, when you look back in Romans chapter 15, can I tell you what you will find? Do you know, look in verse number 8. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Folks, in the Bible, you will find the promises of God. Those promises, you ought to rest upon them. The promises of God. Let's read on. You know verse number 9, and I'm not going to read all of this, but you know that verse number 9 is a quote from Psalm chapter 18 and verse 49. Do you know that verse number 10 is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 43? Do you know that verse number 11 is a quote from Psalm 117 verse 1? And verse number 12 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 10. Do you know what? Do you know what that Paul did here for us in Romans? He's bringing verses from the Old Testament. He's bringing verses from here and verses from here, because that's where we find our patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. Oh, listen, this word that He's the God of hope, we abound in hope. You know what that means? More than is necessary. Folks, you will have more than is necessary hope in your life when you look to the Lord. Folks, I want to be honest with you. Everything that happens to us is not going to be something that appears to be good. Sometimes really bad things happen to us, but we do not have to give up hope, because our hope is in the Lord and we can abound in hope. I know of Christians right now that they've just given up hope. They've given up hope. There's no hope. But folks, our hope is not in circumstances or our situation in this world. Our hope is in God. And folks, the attitude of mankind without God will always be cynical, and it will be a hopeless attitude of life. Folks, I want to encourage you today to dig deep with God. Get into His Word and let His Word get into your heart. And folks, you cannot look at things the right way without filling your life with the precious Word of God. And you cannot be a hopeful person without being a Bible-filled person. Now, today is the first Sunday in the new year. You know what I encourage you to do? To make a covenant with God that you will become a person of His precious Word. That you'll not just skim the surface and just read to, you know, quiet your conscience per se. But that God's Word would become something real to you. And before you read the Bible, you ought to pray and say, God, open my mind. In fact, David said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And when you get into the Bible, God will give you hope. He'll give you patience. Your attitude toward God will be right. And He'll give you comfort. And He'll give you that joy and peace in all believing, because we're trusting in God. Folks, today, the patience and the comfort of Scriptures. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, we need Your Word. We need it in our heart. And I pray that You would give us victory in a world that lives in defeat. That You would give us peace in a world where there is no peace. You would give us joy in a world where they lack joy. God, give us that hope. Father, I pray today that we would understand and recognize how much we neglect Your Word. Help us today. Lord, may this be a new day, a new beginning of obedience to God, a day which we can begin right and find that hope that You offer to us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. Maybe you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's wonderful. But maybe you're here today and you do not know the Lord. Maybe you're here today on this Sunday and you would say, Pastor, I'm not a child of God. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me today? I will not embarrass you or come to you, but I just want to pray for you. No one is looking, but would you be honest and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I do not know where I'd go if I died. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me this morning, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Now I want to ask you, child of God, how many would say this morning, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, my attitude toward God is not right today. And God has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you be honest and lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. I'll be honest. Amen. I appreciate your honesty. How many would say, Pastor, I am lacking hope today? And God has dealt with me that I need the hope that is found in Him. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Today, let's do business with the Lord. And let's let the Lord have His way. We're not going to sing today, but the piano is going to begin to play in just a moment. Maybe you'd like to begin this year by coming to this altar, committing yourself, making a covenant before God. that you will know and live in His Word. Let's pray together. Father, bless this invitation. Lord, help us to be obedient before You. Thank You that You're the God of all hope. You're the God of all comfort. And You comfort us in all our tribulation. Lord, help us to look to You by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. If the Lord has spoken to you, would you leave your seat and come? This way. I want to thank for being here this morning, and if you joined us by means of live stream, thank you so much. And tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll have our evening service. If you are able to come, we would love to have you here. We do have choir practice at 5:15 tonight, and so choir members, if you can be here, that would be tremendous. And on your way out today, we do have Bible reading calendars. We have two different kinds. One will get you through the Bible in a year. The other one, the booklet one, will get you through Psalms twice, Proverbs once a month, the Old and the New Testament twice. So if you want to have a little bit more in-depth reading, that would be for you. And I want to encourage you, as I preached on this morning, let's be people of the book and hide God's Word in our heart. It'll give us that hope that we need in a hopeless world. And may God help us. Well, Brother Stevenson is going to come, and we're glad him and Miss Candace are back, and the Armacost are back, and that's great. They were in Alaska. What'd you say, 4 feet of snow there? Is that right? Well, you can have it, all right? So, okay. And we're glad that all of them are back so far. And Miss Kagan and Miss Olson, I believe, are back as well. So we're glad they're back. And Brother Stevens, would you close the word of prayer? My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the day that You've given us, and I pray that You would help us as we go out and into this new year to remember our hope lies in You and not any of the things that are around us, but just in Your Word. Lord, I pray that we would read Your Word, we'd hide it in our hearts, and Lord, I pray that we would share it with those who are around us, many people that need the hope that we have. I pray that You would use us in that way. Lord, bring us back tonight. I pray that You'd help us, give us safety on the roads. In Jesus' name, amen.